It's time for Supply Chain Now Radio, sponsored by Apex Atlanta and Talent Stream. Broadcasting live from the supply chain capital of the country, Atlanta, Georgia, Supply Chain Now Radio spotlights the best in all things supply chain. The people, the companies, the technologies, the best practices, and the critical issues of the day. Now, here are your hosts.
All right. Good morning. Scott Luton here with you live on Supply Chain Now Radio. Welcome to the show. We are continuing our hashtag Supply Chain City series today, which showcases Atlanta's role in the modern supply chain. Our backdrop for the for today's show is Blueprint 2019. So if you hear any background noise, that is the buzz in the air at this fantastic forum here. This is an annual forum that brings together supply chain thought leaders, all hosted by our friends at Blue Ridge. We are broadcasting live from the Omni at the Battery, site of Blueprint 2019, and right next to SunTrust Park, which is home to the National League East champion Atlanta Braves. All right, so like all of our series on Supply Chain Radio, you can find our replays on a variety of channels: iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and of course our great friends at Business Radio X. And as always, we'd love to have you subscribe so you don't miss anything. Joining me today is my co-host Ben Harris, Director of Supply Chain Ecosystem Expansion, part of the hashtag Supply Chain City crew, and member of the Apex Atlanta Executive Advisory Board. Hey, Ben, how you doing?
I'm doing well this morning. How about you, Scott?
Glad you are here. I'm not quite as complete as you are because you have seen the latest Game of Thrones and I have not. So no spoilers today.
This is going to be tough because we could turn this into a Game of Thrones podcast really quickly.
Absolutely.
But we can't because our dear friend Scott is behind.
Yeah, there's no dragons in modern day supply chains.
There is not. But I'll tell you, the first mention, finally they mentioned, I guess it was an episode or two ago, no spoilers there, they were talking about the food supply chain to all the soldiers and whatnot.
Really?
It was like the first time they ever thought about that. And I was like, you know, I never thought it. Finally, they actually mentioned like they're going to be a little bit scarce in one area. So,
what took us 76 episodes to mention Game of Thrones? So, I guess we're behind times too.
Yes, very true.
So, let's welcome our feature. We got a great show lined up. Let's welcome our featured guest, Don Brett, VP of e-commerce at Kimball International and founder at AMZ Smart, where they're helping CPG companies with their e-commerce strategy and execution on Amazon. Don, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you? How are you doing?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Glad you are here. As busy as you are, appreciate you carving out some time to join us.
No problem.
Bo Groover, founder and president of The Effective Syndicate, where they have a passion for people and a passion for process. Bo, how you doing?
Just right. Just right. Thanks for having me.
Well, glad you're here back from your travels last week. I think you were somewhere, Chicago or West Coast, but glad to have you back here in the Supply Chain City for our podcast today. So thanks for taking some time out. All right, so Ben, as always, we're going to kick the show off today talking about some of the top things to know in supply chain now. We can't tackle all of them.
No, there's a lot going on out there.
A seven-day show. But let's talk about some of the things on your radar. So what have you been tracking?
Yeah, so we mentioned ProMat. Was actually 2 or 3 weeks ago up in the Chicago area. Of course, MODEX will be here in Atlanta next year, but that was it's the largest supply chain show in the Western Hemisphere now. So pretty big show up there. And we had 32 Atlanta-based supply chain companies. That was based, you know, their headquarters is actually in Atlanta that participated there as exhibitors there at ProMat. So very exciting to be amongst those companies, and lots of different announcements were made there at the show. Probably the biggest that I'd like to highlight, you know, was Dematic, who I think had the biggest booth at the show. I took a couple pictures actually of it, and it was about 3 football fields. It was their one booth is how big it is there at the show. I mean, this pretty much makes, you know, makes or breaks their year is how, you know, how things go at these larger shows, especially this towards, you know, kind of the beginning of Q2 here, that this is one of their biggest shows. And having that big booth, and they just announced live on the show floor of day 3 there at the show they're going to move their global headquarters to Atlanta. That's a $30 million investment.
That's a big win.
Yeah, 230 jobs here for the Midtown area. They're going to be at the COTA building that's going to be done with construction here any day now. They're putting off kind of the final punch list there of the building. It'll be one of the nicest facilities in Atlanta for office space, and they're going to be in that building. So definitely a play there with Georgia Tech. They were instrumental in helping us land this project. So super exciting investment for Atlanta. Dematic's one of the world leaders when it comes to material handling and also warehouse control systems, warehouse execution systems. So when we talk about Supply Chain City and Industry 4.0 and the digital age, and especially e-commerce, that is a big, big win for Atlanta. So very exciting there.
New cog and engine.
Congratulations.
Indeed it is. Indeed it is. Thank you. Thank you very much. That's going to be big for Atlanta. So, and of course, a lot of other industries there, you know, kind of follow from there. And there's a lot of other companies that will service them, you know, service providers. So it'll, I think the lasting effects will be exponential.
And that's their U.S. or their
global?
Global headquarters.
Global headquarters. Yeah.
Fantastic. What else? So obviously, ProMat was a big deal. What else have you been tracking here lately, Ben?
Well, we're talking about e-commerce. You know, Dematic certainly in the e-com space. We talk about execution, digitizing supply chain, and moving things faster, better, cheaper. The shipping competition over e-commerce deliveries is really heating up right now. I know we talk about Amazon ad nauseum sometimes here, but here it is. Not even the holidays, and Amazon.com put out a notice that it will invest $800 million. In a move toward free one-day shipping for its Prime members. And, of course, it has its rivals kind of trumpeting their own features now and hinting at their own upgrades. Walmart Incorporated and Target Corp have invested heavily in their supply chains to offer faster shipping options as well. I think shopping at brick-and-mortar sites generally produces better margins for retailers, as we know, but the landscape is really changing. I think the last numbers that we saw on that, online shipping accounted for 9.7% of total U.S. retail sales last year. And a lot of, you know, it's funny because we always think that the numbers are, you know, really, you know, they're getting in the double digits, obviously, but we always think it kind of dominates there, but it's still under 10% of sales or e-com, which is kind of surprising. However, so 9.7% of total U.S. retail sales last year and grew 14.2% from the previous year. And Walmart is suggesting the arms race over shipping will grow, noting in a tweet that one day free shipping, .. without membership fee, wouldn't that be quote unquote groundbreaking?
It's tweet official.
Yes.
That's how all the formal policies are governed these days. Well, you know, I think year over year, what we've been tracking is it seems like e-commerce, you know, when you look at fourth quarter or third quarter over third quarter, anywhere from that 10 to 15%, it keeps leaping ahead.
Yep.
So,
yep.
And I can't remember on a previous show a week or two ago, we looked at what the latest projection in terms of when e-commerce would be 25% of the overall spend. And I cannot remember what year, but we're not talking 2050.
No.
We're talking in short order. So we'll see. It, as you put it, Ben, it is a very evolving landscape, and companies have to change the game in order to compete, especially for the modern day consumer demands, right?
They do indeed. They do indeed. And I'm excited for us to talk about that in more depth here on the show today.
Well, we got two excellent subject matter experts, and e-commerce definitely is going to be the big theme of the show. Before I share some good news, anything else that you've been tracking on the front end here?
That's it for the most part. We want to talk about some of the stuff that's coming up also. Is that we're going to save that for the end of this episode?
You know, talk about transparency.
Sure.
Because that's a big show. Freight Waves is, they're doing some big things, kind of changing that game in many ways, like Amazon, some others. Talk about transparency that's coming to town.
Yeah, so Freight Waves, I know we've mentioned it on the show previously before, but I think it's May 6th through the 8th here in Atlanta. We'll be hosting their second annual Transparency Conference, which is really anything when it comes to freight technology or freight tech, as we're talking hashtags here, that is going to be here at the Georgia International Convention Center right next to the airport. Very exciting event there. They had about, almost 1,000 people show up last year, and they are looking to probably at least double that this year, and it's only its second year of having this show. So really exciting for them. There'll be a big collection of venture capital there, private equity guys. Certainly the freight technology companies themselves will be demoing there live. So if you're in that space or you're looking to invest in that space, it's going to be a phenomenal show that has a lot of that stuff on hand. And I urge you to go to their website, transparency19.com. They've got a phenomenal agenda lined up. The Metro Atlanta Chamber is actually, we're partnering with the Advanced Technology Development Center, ATDC, here in Atlanta to We'll have two companies. Verusen is one of those companies, actually, that will be demoing, demoing live on
the
stage
there.
And also the other company is ThingTech, T-H-I-N-G as in something. ThingTech is the name of the company that will be demoing there as well. So really the goal there is to shine a light on Atlanta-based startups here in this market that are in the freight tech and really transportation tech industry. So super excited to showcase those companies and show what Atlanta has to offer.
Love it. So transparency2019.com. Is it?
I think it's just transparency19.com.
Okay. We'll get Malcolm to verify that for us. Yep. Good stuff. Great show coming to Atlanta. And, you know, Freight Waves are doing some big things. So one last note. Raise your hand if you need some good news.
we are raising our hands, yeah, for those of you listening.
That's right. So the U.S. economy grew at a largely unexpected rate of 3.2% in first quarter 2019, which is the strongest rate of first quarter growth in 4 years. Among other factors, and as Ben can attest, I am no economist, but exports are up, imports are down, and you know it'll be interesting to see what happens in second quarter. Based on what you're reading or what analysts you are listening to, I think they had projected about a 2% first quarter growth. So, you know, very unexpected in terms of 3.2. So what's going to happen second quarter? I don't know. Many analysts have projected that the year should hover somewhere around 2 to 2.5%. So we'll see how second quarter goes. Any guesses? Anyone want to come up with a
You're going to make a betting pool on this?
Yeah, sure. What do you think is going to happen second quarter if you had to put a number on it?
I think second quarter is going to follow first quarter. I think it's going to be strong.
As strong as that 3.2?
Yeah.
All right. So
I think it'll be a little bit lower, but still strong.
Okay.
Like probably around high twos.
High twos.
Is my guess.
3.2. And Don,
I'd say follow 3.2. I'd say follow 3.2.
Hey, I love it.
You could build one, right? And just, you know, like the Price is Right
price
strategy.
Is right,
I'm not going to go over.
Right, right.
I like the optimism.
0.5.
I like the optimism here. That's what we need. But yeah, it's good to, you know, we all need good news. Always good to need good news. And it's good to see that first quarter come in so strong. And, you know, again, among other factors, exports being up, imports being down. We'll see if that trend continues in second quarter. Okay, shifting our gears from some of the top things doing Supply Chain Now, we want to introduce our first featured guest here today on Supply Chain Now Radio. It is Don Brett, former VP of e-commerce at Newell Brands for about 15 years, $15 billion in annual sales at Newell. Holy cow, Don. Currently, he's wearing a couple hats, a VP of e-commerce at Kimball International, which is a large company in its own right, about $1 billion in annual sales. And he's founder of AMZ Smart, advising brands on how to excel in the Amazon environment, which we need as much of that as we can get, I think. Many companies do. So good morning again, Don.
Yeah, good morning. Thanks for having me.
Oh, you know, we've been talking about this for a month or two. We were connected by the great people over at EFT, which has got a great show coming up here in June. And it's great to finally meet you, and certainly great to have you on the show, sharing your expertise. So we're going to dive all into a lot of your expertise, but let's let our audience get a chance to get to know you a little better, Don. So first off, where'd you grow up?
Yeah, sure. I grew up in Greenville, South Carolina, so not too terribly far from here.
Easy drive.
Yeah,
Depending on where you come from, two and a half hours or so, right?
That's right.
85 North. And we were just chatting in the pre-show. You went to school at Citadel.
I did. Yep.
I bet that first year was something else, huh?
Yeah. All years. It's a very tough place to be at, but a very great place to be from, especially if you live in this part of the United States.
Mm. One of our sponsors, Talent Stream, and my business partner Jessica Clayton, she got her MBA from Citadel.
We've
talked shop a little bit about that.
Sure.
So let's talk about your first job. So here you are, e-commerce and organizational leader, SME, been there, done that, been in the trenches. But what was the first job that started off your career?
Sure. I think I found out at an early age that I had an interest in sales types of activities. And although my career has morphed and went many different ways, my first job was bagging groceries. And that wasn't the really hustle. The hustle was the tips that you could acquire associated with the taking bags to the car. So I learned at an early age that there was opportunities out there for me to C's. So that was my first job at a Bilo in Greenville, South Carolina. I don't. It's a regional chain. You might not have heard of it.
We share something in common. I stock shelves and bag groceries for Winn-Dixie.
That was my first
job. Sure. $4.35 per hour.
Sure.
So we had to get those tips.
That's right.
Had to. All right. So let's talk more about your current role. I mean, you stay busy. Mm-hmm. We're trying to coordinate things and get some of Don's time was challenging. We mm-hmm. need a staff to make that happen. But a lot of folks are tapping into what you know and your expertise and your experience. So talk to us about your current role, whether that's AMZ Smart or your role with Kimball.
Sure. It's a little bit of both, and both capacities or both roles. Brands are trying to find ways to access the growth as profitably and sustainably as they can. A couple of years ago, growth at Amazon, if you were a CPG brand, was a bit like the gold rush. Mm. And it was not necessarily hard to acquire. And it wasn't big enough in brands' P&Ls to make a difference if it was decreative from a margin perspective. Well, now you have brands that at one point in time, Amazon was their 9th out of 20 customers. Now they're their second largest. So growth has to be profitable, and their basics and digital that are not the exact same as in brick and mortar. Mm. And so what we're helping brands do is navigate that path to sustainable, profitable growth within the digital ecosystem.
Mm. Just hearing you walk through that, there's so many things changing. You know, we're flipping how we go to market and how we purchase completely on its ear. And I think more and more it seems like companies are starting to accept that mm-hmm. this is not a little, you know,
sure.
flavor of the month. This
sure.
is kind of how things are going to be done in 2019 and beyond. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
So one of the things that caught our eye earlier is the eTalk, mm-hmm. which is a program that y'all have kicked off.
Sure.
About how long ago?
About 3 months ago. So Sri, who's my business partner and the co-founder of the eTalk, he's the vice president of e-commerce for Johnson & Johnson. And we're kindred spirits in that we talk a little bit, but then we actually go execute. So we weren't going to wait a year or something for a show to launch. We just launched it.
Loved it.
And it's very, very surprising. We have a very narrow, extremely narrow audience, but it's very deep. If people follow Sri and myself, they are in this very narrow space. But it's great because it's adding value to those in our, I mean, it's a very small community. You talk about 10% of sales. Mm-hmm. And I would say that it's less than that in terms of people in the organization that are actually making, you know, the pieces move. What we found is, you know, we know we're getting the reach and we know we're adding value because in some cases our posts are getting, you know, 8, 10, 12,000 views, which means we're really creating value for those in our little community.
Well, you know, but that doesn't surprise me. That, you know, watching your episodes, first off, you're tackling a hugely relevant and white hot space, and then secondly, y'all do so in a very frank, upfront, this is how it is manner, which I think is so refreshing, right? Because we get plenty of the package stuff. You know, where it's diplomatic, you know,
right.
This is, here it comes.
Yeah.
You're ready.
Yeah. You're right. Yeah. That, I think that's one of the things that probably differentiates what we're doing versus some of the, maybe safer, kind of commentaries around the space. I mean, we are, in some cases calling the baby ugly, for lack of a better term and saying, hey, look, you can't treat supply chain in that manner and be successful. You can't have a go-to-market strategy that is completely void of what your e-com plans are going to be in the U.S. But then, by the way, the world is huge. And once you figure out Amazon, there's JD and there's Alibaba and there's all these other opportunities. So it really behooves CPGs to embrace this fully and kind of swallow the pill and then, you know, really play for the upside and not let internal maybe politics prevent brands from achieving the growth that they really, truly can achieve.
Mm. When you say that ugly baby, it reminds me of that Seinfeld episode. Where
breathtaking. Your child is breathtaking.
Yeah.
It's good, bud. Yeah. Nice cut.
I could live by Seinfeld quote, Scott.
That's good. Good stuff. All right. So let's dive into the big. So check out the eTalk. And the best way to check out the eTalk, you can find it at AMZSmart.com, right?
No, the eTalk, you'll find us on YouTube. We're putting our site up now. You'll see we've got 11, 12 episodes up. We have we've shot about 25. I think we've shot maybe 25 or 26 in a multitude of cities in the United States. Last week we had the chief innovation officer for Nature's Bounty. We did that shoot in New York City. So we're getting a lot of folks that are really know how these things play together to talk and share. And we have a we just shot another episode with the former CEO of Guthrie Rinker, which the company you've probably heard of, huge DTC brand. It's going really well.
Absolutely. And it's great content. I've become a fan. I subscribed to the your YouTube channel earlier. And that's you said you're building out your website now to make it easier. But for now, go to YouTube, search for the eTalk, or you can find it all over social media.
Right.
Connect with Don on LinkedIn and good stuff. You will not be disappointed. All right. So let's dive into more red meat here. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about some of the biggest e-commerce challenges that you feel are facing companies in 2019.
Sure. So I think, you know, we were talking in the pre-show about, the bumper sticker, if you will, for e-com or the value proposition that brands offer. And in our case, what we're doing is we're enabling growth via connection of people, process, and tech. And as it relates to digital, and as it relates to a future that's the path is not paved clearly for us today, specifically if you're in a more traditional brand that is highly, highly penetrated in, let's say, a Walmart or a Target or your more traditional brick and mortar, we're helping brands connect the appropriate people, the appropriate processes, and leveraging the appropriate tech. So if you think about supply chain is a really good, for instance, you've got to have the right supply chain type of minds that are a little bit progressive, that can lean in, that can understand and communicate with multiple disciplines. I don't know if you guys have ever been on or heard about, if we were in a supply chain meeting with Amazon, it would feel very different than a supply chain meeting with Walmart. Black and white. Mm. So you have, a Walmart or a more traditional retailer that's established would communicate, we're going to purchase 100,000 units of this over the period of 3 months. You can plan your supply chain. You don't have any bullwhips. You can make sure you're very appropriately prepared. Amazon, as a for instance made up example, might say, we're going to purchase 20,000 units. And, they purchase 20,000 units, but if it starts to sell, you might get a PO for 200,000 units. So you have to have the people that can lean in there and help understand and ask the right questions from a supply chain perspective. Then you also have to have the processes in which those people can connect to the organization in a way that says, hey guys, here's what we're seeing in the market. Here's what we know we have planned with other customers. Here's what we need to hedge, for lack of a better term, to make sure we're prepared to deliver and fill. And then there's technology. And you know, I don't know if you guys have seen that infographic with companies that didn't exist 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. And there's likes of all the brands that we all use and depend on today. We travel, Uber. I mean, you're just like, could you ever imagine that? Right. There's technology that has come up in the last 2 to 3 years that leverages automation, that leverages machine learning from a supply chain perspective. If brands aren't enabling their people with the proper tech, it's really setting them up for a tough road ahead.
Absolutely. I think Blockbuster's tweets in its late last couple of years are still available. It's where last time I was telling someone the story, and it's like you're walking through Dead Man Walking's closet, you know, to see some of the things they were up to the last couple of years. But man, it's just, when I hear you say that, it just reminds me just how fast we are moving, and how the rate of change is just continues to get faster and faster and faster. So clearly a key theme, what I'm hearing you say, is having the right people on the team, especially your supply chain leadership team.
That's right.
Is that part of your work with Kimball and your work through AMZ Smart? Are you helping to, coach teams through finding the right people and,
yes,
and what to look for?
Yes, yes, yeah, absolutely. Helping them find the right people for the right roles, as well as coach those in their roles, because many folks want to be coached. They want to do well, but they need to know what the rules are and how they're a bit different, and how to be successful at an Amazon or a JD or an Alibaba or a Taobao joint business planning meeting. I mean, it's from where I sit, it's one of those things where it's like, Amazon is just an assumed because the world is so large, and a lot of these companies are global brands. So the opportunity in many cases is global. So, getting the basics, which, you talk about the basics of content, the basics of search, that you're actually spending the appropriate amount of money, they're basics in digital that you have to, you really got to, get grounded in, but it all centers upon those three tenets of the appropriate people, processes, and tech.
Love it.
Well, if I can jump in real quick. So you brought up Blockbuster, and it sounds like what you're describing is, I think Blockbuster had a strategy of playing not to lose. Mm. Let's hold on. They saw Netflix coming. They saw it growing rapidly.
Mm. Yeah.
You're saying lean in and
That's
be more aggressive, right? It's not the blue ocean strategy. You know Amazon's coming
That's
and Alibaba's
right.
coming. So how do you jump on that wave and ride with them instead of saying, I'm going to hold on here to what I got?
You're right. You're right. And that's a great point. It's also the balance of, not boiling the ocean is something a former CEO of mine said, and that really resonates. You can try to appease every customer and try to go get 1 or 2% growth, or you can really just accept what you've got, what the market has changed to, the fact that nothing against cabs, but we all take Uber, we don't get in a cab. We all look on our phone, whether it's Walmart, Target, Amazon, and we buy, and obviously only 10%, but that'll continue to evolve.
Yep. Going back to, well, I lost my train of thought, Bo. Your Blockbuster just took me right down. But let's shift gears here for a second, Don, because let's move from that very focused e-commerce channel that clearly, and I love to hear what you are doing in the e-talk. And let's talk about, let's go a little bit broader. What other supply chain trends are you tracking right now in the last few weeks?
Yeah, sure. So I think we talked about it in the beginning of the show, and we talked about the penetration rates within the within the U.S. as it relates to digital, and you talk about Amazon with the Prime update with shipping now. It's only so the interesting thing here, and this is a little bit of anticipating moves and how they're going to impact you, right? Because as a Walmart or other platforms move to expedited shipping that we all expect as a consumer, somebody has to pay for that. And what brands need to do, when we talk about what we're tracking, it's a further reinforcement point of, hey, guys, teams, CPG brands, you really need to embrace this, get your arms around it, make the investments, get the basics down, because it's only going to get tougher. So get in now, get the early mover advantage, and then play for the upside, as opposed to waiting on the sideline and kind of hoping maybe that
hope is not a strategy.
It's not. So
that's a terrible strategy.
That's a big one. The news about Prime is a very big one. And then when I was at Newell, the office was in Hoboken, New Jersey, and Jet's corporate office was the next floor down.
Okay.
And so that's Walmart.com's
Yep.
e-commerce basically arm. And it, when moves happen in the market, they happen, the following moves happen very quickly. So I would not imagine it's very long at all before we see news from Walmart and then from Target and many of the big brands that are out in the market. That's normally a good half of their revenue. Mm. So it behooves them to get in front of it.
It's like 3D chess.
It really is.
Thinking 7 moves ahead because change is coming. Change is constant, right? But sitting back, I like how both of y'all kind of put it, Don and Bo, kind of leaning in and not just trying to cling to the current state. It's like constant future state thinking. So you mentioned Newell. What was you 15 years there in upper tiers of leadership. What was one of the things that they really got right, that y'all's team got right as we were moving into this modern Amazon age?
Yeah, I think they invested appropriately to play for the upside. We scaled a division of e-commerce team of 15 to 20 people a few years ago that morphed into a business unit of 250, 300 people. Mm. And Newell really got first mover advantage in many markets and in many categories associated with that move. So I would say they certainly got the investments correct. Now Newell's a big, big business. Mm. And again, talking about people, processes, and tech, you got to make sure you also, when you do make those big investments, you connect the appropriate, you got the muscle tissue connected so you can, you've got a synchronized delivery of your agenda.
So it sounds like they were ready to go. They were willing to invest at that major league scale and skim on lip service, saying they're playing for one thing and the amount of check
that's
was different.
Yeah, not that this happens in CPGs, but it wasn't their intern running their e-commerce department. not that happens.
Well, all right, so shifting gears here as we kind of wrap up this first segment. So you and your business partner have a big keynote coming up here in a few weeks, right?
We do.
Tell us more about that.
You know, it's going to be great. We're going to be talking about, it's the Omnichannel Insight Summit, the 13th to the 15th. And we're going to be talking all things e-com. We're going to be talking many of the things we're talking about here. And the audience will be, you know, CMOs. I forget the exact number of attendees, 50 to 100 CMOs. And talking about how they can leverage e-commerce as a source of growth and coaching those CMOs through how to do that sustainably and profitably.
Mm-hmm. It's tough to get both sides of that coin, isn't it?
It's tough to get the P&L to work on both.
It does indeed.
All right. So you can learn more about what Don Brett and his business partner are doing. You can check out the eTalk at YouTube and website under development. You can check out Don at amzsmart.com. You can check him out at events. What was the name of that event?
It's the Omnichannel Insight Summit.
Where's that being hosted, Don?
It's in Naples.
Naples, Florida.
Naples, Florida. Pretty this
time,
great time
of year,
I'm sure. Yeah.
Phenomenal. Hmm.
And of course you can find Don on LinkedIn, where I'm sure he's happy to connect with you. He is an incredible e-commerce walking subject matter expert here, and we're delighted to have him on the show for the first time. Have him back. We'll have you back in a month or two, because the world will have changed,
right?
In 30 days. But would love to maybe grab your key takeaways coming back from that Naples conference.
Absolutely.
So Don Brett, VP of e-commerce at Kimball International and founder AMZ Smart, where they're advising brands on how to excel in the Amazon environment. Thanks, Don.
You're welcome.
All right, and don't go anywhere. We'll get you to weigh in here on some other things in a second. Next guest, featured guest here on Supply Chain Radio, is Bo Groover. You may have heard him weigh in on his Blockbuster Memories earlier, founder and president of the Effective Syndicate. Good morning again, Bo.
Good morning.
Glad to have you back. This is your umpteenth appearance on Supply Chain Radio. We love getting your perspective on all things people and process and leadership, right?
Glad to be here. Absolutely.
Effective Syndicate is our sponsor of our Leadership Matters series as well. So before we dive into your business and some of your observations here in the last few weeks, Bo, let's give our audience the same opportunity to learn more about you. So where'd you grow up?
Grew up originally in Alabama, and then I moved a couple of years to North Carolina, a couple of years to South Carolina, and then Athens, Georgia.
Dang. So who's got better barbecue, South Carolina, Georgia, or Alabama, or North Carolina? Oof. Who would be your number one vote? Tough questions here on Supply Chain Radio.
I don't know. The hard-hitting journalism that you're putting in front of me. Because I'm a homer, I'm going to go with Georgia.
Okay, good stuff. All right, so what was your first job?
My first job was working at a New York-style pizza place at a mall. And just a really quick story. So I had never had New York-style pizza. They opened this new mall, and I wasn't old enough to drive, so I had my buddy drive me up there, and I tried this pizza. I'm, like, hooked. So literally like 4 days in a row, I'm talking about, come on, dude, I'll buy the pizza. You just drive me. So we're standing in line, and I'm like, I don't know, seventh deep in the line. And the guy that's running the pizza joint looks at me and points at me and says, you want a job? And I'm looking around like, is he talking to me? So eventually I started working there, and it was kind of my first, I guess, step into people and process thinking. So this guy had saved his money. Moved from Italy to New York, worked in New York, learned the pizza business, and then moved to North Carolina to open this pizza joint. And he was working, you know, open to close 7 days a week for I don't know how long. Well, eventually, it was my turn to clean up the restaurant, right, all by myself. So he's in the back doing the books and whatever he's doing, and I'm up front cleaning because, you know, in a mall, it's really, there's no restaurant, right? It's just the counter, the kitchen, and then the back room. So I did a half-assed job, as most 15-year-old kids would do, and he came out and said, how'd you do? And I said, man, I did great. And he said, well, are you almost finished? I said, yeah, I'm close. He said, are you sure? And I said, yeah, you know, being cocky, being an arrogant teenager. He pulled a few things out and started showing me all the stuff that I'd missed. And he's like, Bo, I taught you this. And he sat me down that night and said, listen, I have spent my entire life saving up money to open this restaurant. And I want to provide for my family by serving great food, and people will come back and eat our food because it's good. I have a standard, and I really like you. I really like your attitude, but your cleaning skills suck. So if you want to keep working here with me and having fun like we do, you're going to redo this. He then went through and showed me again what his expectations were. He paid me for the overtime. But you talk about setting a standard, and, you know, he loved me through it. It wasn't like he yelled at me and called me a dipstick. It was like, hey, look, this is the standard.
Right.
Get on board.
Well, you know, so we can't get through a show without a Clemson reference, but Dabo at Clemson, best is standard. You know, that has been part of his mantra since day one. And, you know, a lot of things have to go right to do what they've done. But that's what he's brought to a program that for a long, long time was mediocre. And I know you know, growing up in the upstate, I'm not going to name any names, but as a former season ticket holder, when the times were bad, gosh, I'm so jealous. I don't have the three kids have got my budget. So season tickets are not part of that. But setting that standard is so important.
It is.
It sounds like that was a critical lesson learned in your first job, and you've certainly carried it on from there, right?
Absolutely. I like that quote. I think Dabo's done an amazing job at Clemson.
Yeah, agreed. So let's talk about your current role. So you founded the Effective Syndicate, what you lead now, and what do you do?
I did, yes. So May of this year will be our fourth year anniversary.
Congratulations.
Started in 2015. Thank you. And I think like most business leaders, I'm walking the tightrope of working in the business and on the business. Mm. So on the business is what are our processes? How do we get better? How do we raise that standard? And then in the business is working with clients to help them get better and whatever processes they're working on.
Mm. Fantastic. All right. So let's shift gears again here. E-commerce is the theme of the show today. And you know, you can have the best whiteboarded strategy out. It's approved by the powers that be. But if you don't have the operations and the operational capacity and capability to really execute on the opportunity that is e-commerce, you're not getting anywhere, or you're going to get nowhere fast. So what, in your view, what are some of the things that companies must be able to do in order to optimize the revenue opportunities in the Amazon age?
Well, a couple of things. And let me start with, a quick story. My business partner and I decided we were going to get Microsoft Surfaces, the little tablet, which is a very effective tool, by the way. We love it. But he bought his from Amazon, and he's more of a tech guy than I am. So I was like, all right, let me try it for a week and see if I like it. Hey, dude, I love this thing. Amazon had stopped that sale. So I started looking around, and sure enough, there was a computer company, same price, same package, free two-day shipping. So I ordered it. Thinking, all right, here we go. You know, they've caught up. They figured out that Amazon is the wave, and here they go. So 3 days later, I didn't have anything, right? And it was a three-piece package. So I went on the website, and come to find out that my payment that I'd gotten confirmed didn't go through. So I called them. Mm. When I called them, I was 49th in queue. Ugh. You can wait. You're 49th in queue. Wait time's approximately 29 minutes. Mm. Okay, no fun. Signed back on, redid it, got another confirmation. Well, 2 days after that, I got one part, which is the little digital stylus pen. No computer, right? So now I'm like 6 days into this thing, and now I'm just annoyed at myself. I should have paid the extra money and skipped the sale. But eventually, finally got the service like 5 or 6 days, and I actually have started to blog on it because if your operation is that poor and you're trying to compete in this digital age, and they are an e-commerce site, they do not have a brick-and-mortar store.
Wow.
You just don't have a chance.
No.
And it's the same whether you're talking about e-commerce or any other process. You know, our way of thinking is passion for people, passion for process, and that's because we believe if you get the culture right, you can put any strategy you want to in front of them, and they will figure it out, and they'll work through it, and they'll make it win. And if you don't, it doesn't matter. You could have the best flip chart. You could have the best Lean Six Sigma, whatever thing you want, and it's just going to suck because people are frustrated. The Gallup poll keeps showing us 70% of the American workforce is either disengaged or actively disengaged, and it's because really crappy leadership and really crappy cultures in these organizations, and now you're going to compete against Amazon that is just lighting up the world. Dude, you got a snowball's chance in hell of making it through that.
Mm. So what else from you shared a lot there, but kind of chopping up a little bit. What else do you feel many companies are lacking that are moving into or really want to capitalize or licking their chops at all this e-commerce and all the revenue opportunities? What else do you find lacking?
Well, I think I would echo what Don said is building that team, right? Getting really, really clear on what you're trying to do. So in the consulting space, we get called a lot and the people who call us in, we say, what are you trying to do? And they say, we're trying to get better. Mm. Well, okay, that's motherhood and apple pie. Mm-hmm. You know, so do I. Mm-hmm. But really getting definitive and specific on what better means is similar to this e-commerce thing. They need to have a dedicated leadership team focused on e-commerce. They need to have a very clear strategy. They need to have very clear goals and objectives, and then execute the plan violently if they want to compete in that space.
Execute the plan violently.
Absolutely.
Like yeah, I like that too. What does that mean in paint a picture?
Execution violently means that I'm not going to sit around and debate whether or not water's wet. We've got a plan. We've got a strategy. We've got goals and objectives. It's just go time. It's time to execute the plan without a lot of second guessing, without a lot of belabored meetings and, you know, the 4-hour meeting that should be a 15-minute conversation.
Mm.
We still see that in organizations in this digital age where literally my cell phone is more powerful than the computer system that sent
crazy.
The Apollo space mission, right? But I'm going to have a 4-hour meeting, and it's like, guys, you just don't have time.
Right.
You're working 60 hours a week. You're working on weekends. Why do you need to have a 4-hour meeting?
Mm. When you shared that, it makes me think when I was in metal stamping and, you know, launching metal parts, and I had a fantastic director of engineering that worked 80 hours a week. The guy was just a marathoner. And I brought in some small little problem, you know, a little folder and trying to, you know, sweating this little deal. He goes, Scott, that is small potatoes. I tramp those out when I'm sleeping at night, you know. I got to worry about the big things. And that really was such a early on learning lesson for me. You know, instead of calling an all-hands-on-deck meeting to talk about the color of the shoes or you know, whatever, you name it.
Right.
Let the small stuff be the small stuff and focus and execute violently on the big things we got to make happen. So I love kind of how you put that. So execute the plan violently.
Right.
It's going to be a T-shirt. Your latest and greatest T-shirt for the Effective Syndicate.
I like it. And I've got another historical client that was just the opposite. So I was trying to teach him execute violently. And it didn't matter what somebody brought him. You know, my ice water's not cold. Well, pretty soon we're talking about the theory of refrigeration.
Yeah.
It's like, we just don't have time.
Look, I'm glad you know that stuff. It's phenomenal. But
it is. But save that for any time that I'm not
around. Maybe dinner or something. Yeah. Or when I'm trying to go to sleep.
Exactly. There you
right,
go.
Right. Record that for a bedtime story.
So shifting gears here, let's talk about what are some of the other supply chain or business trends or challenges you've been tracking here in the last few weeks.
Well, I think the thing that I'm trying to help organizations with most consistently right now is clarity. And again, it's back to the I just want to get better thing, that I can't do anything with that, and they can't do anything with it, which is part of the problem. Had a client, we were doing, we call it a master planning session, and the part of it is to list out all the activities that they've got going on. Okay, this client was about to launch a very aggressive transformation in a large part of their production area, and they had 47 different projects going on. And, you know, you don't have bandwidth. Half of them were poorly scoped. You say, what's the objective of that one? And, well, we're trying to improve this. Okay, well, what's the objective? How much are you trying to improve over what period of time? Mm-hmm. And they look at you like you're speaking Greek. And so, you know, whether it's e-commerce or supply chain in general or just good operational practices, is helping organizations get blindingly clear on what it is that we're trying to do. What does winning mean for us? And hammering that and teaching them how to communicate that and reinforce that and then execute violently against that. If we can get them to do those things, they'll win.
Yeah. So the backdrop beyond Blueprint here is SunTrust Park. We were talking about the Braves on the front end. And when I hear clarity, I'm thinking, okay, what if the third base coach has 20 or 30 different signals and their base runners have no idea what he or she wants them to do? You know, stop, run, slide, whatever.
Right.
Really defining with very clearly what success looks like, what improvement looks like, sounds like it's really an important component of the plan, right?
Absolutely. I mean, if you don't know where you're going, any road will get you there, right? So if we can't define what does winning mean for this team, why are we here, what are we trying to accomplish, people will make up their own story.
Mm. If you were a third base coach, I think you'd send every single runner, right? Keep them going. Keep
pretty close. There might be a lot of outs at home plate.
That's it. Good stuff. Well, all right. So one last question for you. You've got a great event coming up on May 10th, hosted by the Georgia Manufacturing Alliance, sponsored by Apex Atlanta, which is one of our sponsors here at Supply Chain Radio. Tell us about what folks have the opportunity to do on May 10th.
Yeah, thanks. I'm excited about it. So it's really the culmination of the last 4 years of running this consulting firm and hearing what companies struggle with. So we've called it Proven Techniques for Continuous Improvement. And it is really laying out kind of what are those core ingredients that you've got to have if you're trying to do this. And my hope is some of these folks will take things away if they haven't started, or if they've started and it's not going the way they want, they might be able to hear that one nugget that says, oh, we don't have that part. Mm. So I'm excited to do it, and I'm hoping to have a full house to talk to.
And it's 2 hours long, so there's no time for, you know, what color ink pens are we going to be using. It's the major stuff.
I will execute that meeting violently with no violence. Don't misunderstand.
Right. Well, you can, to any of our listeners that want to attend, you can find out more and register at Georgia Manufacturing Alliance. Good friends over there at GMA, Jason Moss and Marjorie Dykson. I believe Doosan is hosting that workshop, right?
That is correct.
And we're going to have a chance of touring that operation after the workshop.
That is correct.
Fantastic. As always, you can learn more about Bo Groover and his firm at TheEffectiveSyndicate.com. We're setting up a great interview following up, continuing our Leadership Matters series next Sunday, where we're going to capture some of the things that Bo has been bringing back from the road, some of his latest lessons learned. So stay tuned for that. But thanks for joining us here today, Bo, as always, here at Blueprint 2019.
Thanks for having me. Thank you.
You bet. And go Braves. All right. So here as we look to close on some upcoming events. First off, Malcolm and the Supply Chain Radio research team has told me the best place to go is freightwaves.com for Transparency 2019. It might have its own event website, but
yeah, it might be a landing page from there.
Yeah, Malcolm said that's the place to go, freightwaves.com.
All right.
And before I share some things, you're going to Munich?
I am, Ben? Indeed, yeah.
What's
so
there?
Transport Logistic. Just no S on
okay.
the end. I know we say logistics here all the time.
Well,
yeah, logistic.
They do the cool things in Europe.
Yeah, they do. And they're
like
usually
that.
A lot of it, very far ahead of us when it comes to logistics and transportation there. But it is the largest transportation and kind of logistics show, I would say, in the world, actually.
Wow.
And it's every other year, and it changes locations a lot of the times. But usually it's mostly in Europe for the most part. So this year it is in Munich. That's the first week of June. So I'm going there actually with Hartsfield-Jackson Atlanta International Airport and their air cargo team, their air service development team, I should say. Elliot Page, good friend of the chamber, of course, of the show for a long time here also, is leading that trade mission, if you will. So we're going to go there Got several meetings signed, you know, kind of lined up there. One of note being with Schiphol Airport. Mm-hmm. We've got an MOU signed with Schiphol, you know, being really the leader when it comes to air cargo operations globally throughout the world. We're there to talk to them about, you know, kind of triangulation of freight and also just their overall operational stuff and how we can kind of benchmark what they're doing there. So really exciting about that. And then we've got some other meetings just from an air trade development standpoint about hopefully some companies that want to bring their operations to Atlanta, set up shop here.
Will BVL be part of the that trade show you're going to?
They will.
Okay.
They will.
Good people. They came here for MODEX and partnered with, we had six or seven industry associations that had that joint booth.
Yes.
Back in 2018, and BVL was a great part of that. So give them our regards, and we're looking forward to doing the podcast out at the world's best airport. We don't have a date just yet, but Elliot and team.
TBD.
TBD. It's one of our favorite acronyms here.
Stay tuned.
Well, safe trip to you, Ben, and appreciate what you're doing to continue to grow business in the local market here in the supply chain city. And so, Don and Bo, y'all be thinking about any other events on your radar as I share a couple other things here. We'd love to get the word out as best we can. So, in May, the Association for Manufacturing Excellence will be holding its Atlanta 2019 Lean Summit here. Great speakers, best practice sharing, networking, all dialed in on the world of manufacturing. Supply Chain Now Radio is excited to serve as a media partner. We're going to be broadcasting live from day one of that conference, and you can learn more at ame.org. Of course, one of our sponsors here, Apex Atlanta, we've got classes coming up at the Georgia Tech Supply Chain and Logistics Institute. If you want to earn your the world's leading supply chain management certification, CSCP or CLTD, you can come out to the boot camp the week of June 24th is the next round. We've got a 2.5-day CSCP boot camp and a 2.5-day CLTD boot camp all hosted there at Georgia Tech. You can learn more at scl.gatech.edu. EFT coming to town in June, right?
They are.
3PL and Supply Chain Summit in Atlanta, excuse me, June 10th through the 12th. Home run lineup of speakers. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. In fact, I think, Don, you and Sheree may be speaking, at least attending, if you aren't speaking at this event as well, right?
Which one is it?
The EFT 3PL and Supply Chain Summit in Atlanta.
Yeah, I believe we are.
I believe you are, too. And if nothing else, I'm glad EFT connected us so we could share some of your e-commerce perspective in advance right here on the show. Land O'Lakes, Uber Freight, UPS, Cisco, DHL Supply Chain, Noodle, many more home run lineup of speakers. We're going to be broadcasting live courtesy of Becker Logistics. You can check them out at BeckerLogistics.com. Of course, you can check out EFT.com for more details. If you can't find what you're looking for, send us a note to Scott with two T's at SupplyChainNowRadio.com, and we'll get you more information. Before we thank our guests and Don and Bo, if y'all, any other events, anything else we're missing? And it's like industry event season.
It is, first quarter, you know, is awfully busy when it comes to that. So now it's just kind of this next. I mean, speaking of, we're at one of them right
That's
now.
Right.
User conference here for Blue Ridge. So yeah, there's some other stuff. I mean, SAP Sapphire is coming up also. That's actually the same week as FreightWaves transparency event. So yeah, May is. For user conferences is pretty much like the mecca for that. Mm-hmm. So that one, the Manhattan Associates will have their Momentum conference also at the same time. And I think JDA will have theirs as well. So, yeah, it's definitely a lot of stuff coming up on as we approach May here.
Outstanding. You know, I want to mention one thing. Our sponsor, Talent Stream, we don't talk a whole bunch about them. We need to talk more about them because, you know, what Bo and Don was talking about was how important it is to find basically progressive supply chain leadership talent. Mm-hmm. And that is a key area of practice for the Talent Stream team. So if you can't find what you're looking for from an engineering, manufacturing, supply chain standpoint, reach out to talentstreamstaffing.com, and we can fill that gap. So big thanks to our guests today, Don Brett with Kimball International and with AMZ Smart. Be sure to check out eTalk on YouTube. Mm-hmm. Great. You will not be disappointed with that. Don, thanks for joining us.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Bo Groover with the Effective Syndicate. No shortage of things going on there. Come check them out May 10th via the GMA event. You can find out more information at GeorgiaManufacturingAlliance.com. Bo, thanks for coming out.
Thanks for having me.
You bet. And as always, our co-host Ben Harris with the Metro Atlanta Chamber. Will Haraway, who's normally part of the Supply Chain City crew, I think he's playing music somewhere today.
He probably part of is.
I know he was playing last night.
I'm surprised he's actually not here. Yeah, Blueprint, but hey.
I think he's doing some video interviews upstairs here at the beautiful Omni at the Battery.
There you go.
But we miss Will. We'll have him back again soon. We had Will and I did a we went to Granddaddy Mims Distillery in Blairsville, Georgia, where we did a live show last week. And one of the owners of that distillery is Tommy Townsend, which is a country music recording artist. Mm. And him and Will got together and sang a song called Drinkin' from Tommy's last album last week. And it was really cool. Really cool. Good to see that side of Will. All right. So be sure to check out upcoming events, replays of interviews, other resources at supplychainnowradio.com. You can find us on iTunes, SoundCloud, all of the leading sites where podcasts can be found. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss anything. On behalf of the entire Supply Chain Now Radio team, this is Scott Luton wishing you a wonderful week, and we'll see you next time on Supply Chain Now Radio. Thanks, everybody.